Good morning. It is a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, let's start with President Trump claiming he wants the Mueller findings, that report, made public.
If you read the entirety of his remarks, it sounds like the same old nonsense, because within the scope of the remarks are the idea that the American people, A, if they want it, they can have it, but it's really up to the attorney general, who's a good man, to make this thing. So you don't know what kind of advance deal has been made. And there is a lot of skepticism that it'll ever really happen according to the way that he wants it done. Now, of course, he's left himself a number of outs in the past about whether or not the material would be suitable for the American people to hear. And now there does seem to be some light. I think the press is correct. They're giving him tremendous publicity on this because they want to lock him in. The idea that, well, you said, and then they'll be able to look at the attorney general and say to Mr. Barr, you said also in your confirmation hearing. But anybody who knows Trump and knows his challenges with veracity knows that there's a long way between lip and cup here, that's for sure.
From the New York Times and the Washington Post this morning, months after McCain's death, President Trump renews attacks on him. The Republicans, Alan, are begging him to stop, but he's escalated, saying that he gave Senator McCain the funeral he wanted and didn't get a thank you.
You know, it's extraordinary. We know that McCain said that he did not want this president at his funeral. Now for him to say he gave him the funeral that he wanted by saying, yeah, they could proceed. Can you imagine had the sitting president of the United States said McCain shouldn't have a funeral and that he would expend the resources of the United States to get it? That would have been chaotic, of course, at very least, and people would have despised him even more, the people who really don't like him. What's interesting here, of course, is that it is the Republicans who are offended because they all love John McCain. People love John McCain. It's that simple. So the idea that he is working on this seems to some people to indicate that he is so scared of what the Mueller report, which we just talked about, is going to say, that he is offering all of these shiny bright objects that he has used in the past to distract people from what's coming and maybe to distract himself. What is extraordinarily interesting is the case that is being built, that Trump has a psychological problem. And we see that from some of the closest people in the Republican or to the Republican administration. And it is something that, of course, could be fodder for the 25th Amendment, which would allow the, quote, principal officers of the cabinet to remove him. But the likelihood of that happening is very, very bad. I mean, you know, anybody who shows any disloyalty to this president knows what's in store for them.
Alan, how about ex-Florida gubernatorial candidate Andrew Gillum, also the former Tallahassee mayor who nearly lost the race for Florida governor in November, announced yesterday he's launching a voter registration initiative in Florida. Its goal is to help the Democrats win the state in 2020 and, quote, evict Donald Trump from the White House. He's seeking, in this so-called red flag plan, to register 1 million more Florida voters.
Well, that's the name of the game. We know that the Republicans understand that Florida is the key to all of this. It was the key to the election of at least one Bush. It is the key to future Republican hopes, which is why every time you see a proposed liberalization of the rules, you will see a recalcitrance on the part of the Republicans to do it. That's true not only in national politics, but state politics also. We see in New York State all kinds of plans to liberalize voting opportunities. Florida, which holds the key to whether a president is a Republican or a Democrat, becomes essential. And the idea that you would add another million people to the rolls is something that is going to be very difficult for people like Donald Trump and the people around him to put up with.
The economy and the Federal Reserve, Alan, they left interest rates unchanged yesterday, showing little appetite for raising them in the near future as officials are expressing increased concern about slowing economic growth.
Well, you know, many people are trying to make the argument that there's a big difference between the stock market and how it's doing, which is extremely well, as anybody with a 401k who checks it knows, and the economy. Because the economy has a lot of people in it that the stock market does not. And also, as we used to say when we were kids, there's always the possibility that you're cruising for a bruising, meaning that what goes up comes down, not only in the stock market, but in the economy itself. Anybody who doesn't know or read enough American history to know what happened in the Depression doesn't know what's potentially possible here. So you have to be very, very careful. And I think everybody is walking on pins and needles, worrying about that. But right now, the economy and the stock market are something that Donald Trump actually has going for him. No question about it.
The blaring headlines today about New Zealand, Alan, and announcing a ban on all military-style semi-automatic weapons and all high-capacity ammunition magazines after the massacre that killed 50. From the Times, the country's plan, which comes 6 days after the attacks on two mosques, stands in contrast to the resistance to similar calls for restrictions in the U.S.
Which is interesting, David, because there are an awful lot of New Zealanders, as we know, and we've all been reading about it, who own guns, huge numbers. But it does not seem to be an organized resistance. There isn't the kind of thing you see with the National Rifle Association, where any kind of fooling with rules over guns is resisted like crazy in the United States. My sense of it is that the news media are giving it huge play, as they should, because in this country, the resistance is so great. You take a look at something like Sandy Hook and the killing of those beautiful little children and the parents who have never given up the quest to make some meaningful changes in this country. And you see how hard it's going to be to make this thing happen. But I am pretty sure that eventually it will happen.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Alan, thank you.
David, thank you.